Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feltman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow us on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Another road game, another loss for the Pistons. The Pistons are still winless on the road. They're also undefeated at home, but that doesn't do much when you're on a road trip. The Pistons lost 107-100 to the Suns yesterday. That was coming behind a loss to the Clippers. Next up, the Pistons are going to have the Spurs, then the Nuggets to close out the road trip. So there's still an opportunity to win on this road trip, but Phoenix is probably the worst team of the bunch. So to lose this one's pretty disheartening. The Pistons' defense was so-so. We'll get more to that. The big problem was offensively. The Pistons they shot 34% on two-pointers, and that's not going to work. The Pistons are not a proficient enough deep shooting team to get away with that. They miss shots at the rim. They miss shots a little deeper in the paint. They miss shots in the mid-range. And it really started with the point guards. Banu Udrih and Ish Smith combined to shoot 3 for 18. They were not spot on enough with their passes. So as we've seen throughout the year, too often the Pistons have sort of devolved into, okay, we'll try and run one action. If it doesn't work, it's who can we take off the dribble? And it's just too simplistic. Yeah, there are some nights where Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris are talented enough to make that work, and the Pistons have been pretty good defensively this year, so that gives a little more margin for error, but it wasn't enough tonight. The Suns are not an excellent defensive team, but they really were competing last night, making the most of what they had. I wouldn't even go that far. Not necessarily making the most, because there were some, maybe not the smartest plays by their defense, but the effort was there. They were defending with effort and contesting as much as they could. On two-point shots last night, the Suns contested 48 of them. 22 were by Alex Len. Alex Len's big. He's tall. He's fairly mobile for his size. Doesn't jump that well. You know, can be a little slow to get going up to his full speed. He's the type of rim protector that teams should not fear. But the Pistons did. He was impacting them, and it pushed them away from the paint a little bit. He had 22 contests by himself. The Suns had 48, and this is on two-pointers. By comparison, the Pistons had 31. They contested 31 Suns two-point shots. And so it made it tough. And these were not great contests, but they were enough. That's sort of where it fell down to. These were not great contests. These were not blocking a ton of shots and making the Pistons super uncomfortable, but it was just enough. A team that's not the most explosive offensively, that it gets a little too simplistic after its first action as the shot clock, let alone when it's like ticking down. But before that point, the Pistons can be fairly predictable on those two-point shots, going with Tobias Harris or Marcus Morris off the dribble or something else that's a little simplistic. And it wasn't enough because the Suns contested with effort. Andre Drummond had a nice game with 18, 14, and even 4 assists. I mean, he's just the Pistons' best player. There was a little dip where they caused a little panic because his effort and energy weren't there, but he's the Pistons' best player. More often than not, he's going to produce like this. It's up to his teammates around him, and sometimes he'll be even better than this. He wasn't hugely impactful, but he had a nice game. You know, that's where you start for who played well, and then the next player, and maybe the only player where you really feel good about how they played, was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He scored 27 points. Defended really well on Devin Booker, who shot just 3 for 9. Devin Booker has sort of been anointed the star in the making, and for a lot of good reason. Just a real good shooter, better than expected as a ball handler and passer, and very young. He's one of the youngest players in the draft, and in hindsight, the Pistons should have drafted him over Stanley Johnson. I'm not going to beat the Pistons up about that. I might beat them up a little bit about not drafting Justice Winslow over Stanley Johnson. But Devin Booker, while he deserved consideration in that spot, he has basically become the best-case version of what it seemed he could be coming into the draft. Some players are going to do that. They're just going to hit on their best end. And you can't just go, well, in hindsight, you should have done this, and criticize a team for it. You can acknowledge it. You can learn from it. Yes, in hindsight, the Pistons should have picked him. But it's not fair to criticize them over it. Booker was in a limited role at Kentucky, hadn't had a chance to show he can do more, and now is showing he can do more. But there was a degree of hope when the Suns drafted him. They didn't. I don't think they could have known how good he would be. But anyway, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope did a real nice job of slowing him down. And after the game, Stan Van Gundy bemoaned a little bit that, well, okay, that's nice, but I need a second defensive guard when a team has two scoring guards on the floor, and the Pistons don't have that. They'll be better off when Reggie Jackson gets healthy. I think he's probably the second best defensive guard on the roster. He's not great, but maybe could have held his own to the degree where a game like this goes from a loss to a win, or the Pistons' chances would definitely be better just on Reggie Jackson's defensive upgrade alone, let alone what he could have done offensively. And this is sort of a roster construction problem, because Ish Smith, not good defensively. Beno Udre, not good defensively. I guess the option ideally would be Darren Hilliard, who has been injured, hasn't played yet this year, because he can play some point guard. Probably the better defensive option would be Reggie Bullock. But if you have a Bullock, Caldwell, Pope backcourt, I'm not sure who can handle the ball. Do you want to go with like Tobias Harris as a point forward? That gets a little messy. So there's no ideal solution. This kind of is a roster construction problem where it wouldn't look as bad with Reggie Jackson out. But one thing we talked about a lot before the season was the Pistons' depth. And not just depth of players, but depth of abilities and skills to where they could withstand an injury here or there. They could play different styles. But I think we are seeing the limits of that. No team can cover everything and every type of everything with any type with any injury. But what we're seeing now is a Pistons team that with Reggie Jackson hurt does not have enough defensive players at guard to really feel good. And that's why Eric Bledsoe had a nice game. That's why Brandon Knight had a nice game. Because asking Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to guard Devin Booker took him off those other two. But the Pistons' defense has been good overall this season, and I do want to take a step back to look at that in a little greater depth. If you were listening the other day, we ran a clip from the Dunked On podcast, Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue talking about the Pistons, and I'm excited that we're going to be able to do that more in the future. It's a fantastic national podcast, and it's always good to hear what they're saying about the Pistons and get some very smart perspective on the team. In the same sense, there is another excellent national podcast called Locked On the NBA, Locked On NBA. And if you are looking for something additional to listen to beyond Locked On Pistons, highly recommend Locked On NBA. And the other day, the host of that, David Locke, had John Schumann of NBA.com on as a guest, and they were talking about the Pistons' defense.
Well, one of the more fascinating ones for me was Detroit and their shot location defense. So they were number one in the league in forcing shots between the restricted area and the three-point line. So the restricted area is the most valuable area as far as shot value, right? And then three-pointers are next. Corner threes are better than above-the-break threes. But the best shots are either layups and dunks or threes. And Detroit was number one in the league in the percentage of their opponent's shots that came between those two areas. So they had the best say shot location defense. But they ranked, I want to say 13th or so in effective field goal percentage defense. And mediocre, they're basically mediocre in defensive efficiency overall. And I thought that was fascinating. It's like, you know, you would think that forcing the right kind of shots is going to lead to a top 10 defense. If you're number one in sort of shot location defense, you should be a top 10 defensive team. So I thought that was kind of fascinating. And the great thing was that they were in Brooklyn in the preseason. So I was able to actually talk to Stan Van Gundy about this and sort of figure out or just ask him, you know, what's the disconnect between forcing the right kinds of shots, but the other team still, you know, the opponent's still shooting well. And he said it's just about, you know, contesting and they can prevent layups, but they're not contesting. And he says, you know, an uncontested mid-range shot is still a good shot in his mind. And so that is something I want to keep an eye on is do they still have a great shot location defense? Are they still preventing the shots? And then are they contesting them better this year? And can they make that step into becoming a top 10 defensive team?
Forcing shots from the mid-range, not at the rim and not three-pointers, has become a guiding defensive principle for a lot of teams. Those three-pointers are so valuable because how efficient players have gotten on them. Shots at the rim are so valuable because players are so efficient on them. So it's not just, to some degree, it is a matter of trying to get teams to shoot worse on three-pointers, to shoot worse at the rim. But the more common thinking has become, it's not about forcing players to miss those shots. It's about not letting them take it in the first place. Force them to lower efficiency areas, and the Pistons remain elite at that. They're forcing slightly higher percentage of their shots from the mid-range. And that includes, if you are familiar with these statistics, the mid-range here does include shots that are in the paint and not the restricted area. For these purposes, when I say mid-range, I mean not at the rim and not a three-pointer. So a two-pointer anywhere but the rim. The Pistons are forcing a slightly higher percentage this year. They rank third in the league. It's early. They're forcing about 45% of their opponent shots from there. I wouldn't read too much into them dropping from first to third. Their percentage is very similar to last year, up from 44%. And if you round it, it's not even a full percent difference. They remain elite at this. The Pistons are the difference. They are much better at the effective field goal percentage their opponents are shooting. The Pistons rank fourth in the league in effective field goal percentage, which would sort of match this stat. Where John Schumann saw the disconnect last year, there is much more of a match this year. I think the Pistons are doing a better job of contesting. However, it has come at a cost. The Pistons have gone from second in defensive rebounding to 13th, from very good to middle of the pack. And I think that is connected. I think the Pistons are doing a better job of getting out and contesting on some of those mid-range shots and shots from other areas too. But when you do that, you are sacrificing rebounding position. You can't be two places at once. You do need to make the opponent miss the shot first. But if he misses it, you've got to secure the rebound or their possession's going to continue. So there is a balancing act there, and I will be watching closely to see where the Pistons go. They have an excellent defensive rebounder in Andre Drummond, but after that, Marcus Morris and Tobias Harris, maybe they're good for small forwards, but one of them is the power forward and is a fairly underwhelming rebounder for a power forward. Ish Smith is a little bit smaller than the typical point guard. Maybe Reggie Jackson will help in this regard. Reggie Jackson can be fairly active on the defensive glass. Maybe that'll kick it around to the point where the front court players can still contest and even Reggie Jackson contest, but there'll just be a better balance of contesting shots and still getting rebounds. We'll see how that progresses. It's definitely something I want to keep an eye on. And I'm glad I can share that clip with you from Locked On NBA. And when you're looking for a national podcast, just check it out yourself. Listen to Locked On NBA. There's always great stuff, great discussions like that on there. If you're looking to branch out beyond the Pistons, and when you want to hear more about the Pistons, check in with us at Locked On Pistons. We're going to be here every Monday through Friday throughout the season. You can follow on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.